From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. Sufi Muslims continue to move forward. Sufi Muslims in Egypt say they plan to continue organizing for an annual celebration of the birthday of their Prophet Muhammad, even as the country reels from the massacre at a Sinai mosque that killed 305 worshippers and wounded another 128. No group has claimed responsibility for Friday's attack, widely believed to have been launched because Sufis worshipped at the Al-Rada Mosque in a village by the same name. University of San Francisco Middle East scholar Stephen Zunis says Middle Eastern countries have borne the brunt of terrorist attacks.
The problem, of course, is that Saudi Arabia has its own political agenda, as with other nations. You know, fighting terrorism, while certainly a legitimate cause, has been used to advance more narrow interest.
Gunmen were seen carrying the Islamic State black flag. Saeed Sadak is with the Canadian University in Cairo.
They picked this mosque because there are many tribes in this area supporting the army. And so they picked this time, a soft target, time for the prayer when everybody is totally in, praying and not looking around.
Egypt is in 3 days of mourning. Indonesian authorities have raised the alert for a volcano on Bali to the highest level and ordered people within 10 kilometers to evacuate. In Australia, Emil Janssens of the Bureau of Meteorology said volcanic ash is being emitted.
About 9 o'clock on Saturday night, the volcano woke up and started emitting ash. Been increasing in intensity, so slowly getting stronger over that period. And we're seeing the plume on satellite imagery up to around 9,000 meters above sea level.
The volcano has shifted from steam-based eruptions to magmatic eruptions, although a major eruption is not expected. This is VOA News. Pope Francis arrived in Myanmar today in his effort to draw global attention to the Rohingya Muslim refugee crisis. The Pope's schedule does not include a visit to a refugee camp, but he is expected to meet with a small group of Rohingya in Dhaka, the Bangladeshi capital. A ship carrying food has been allowed to dock at a rebel-held Yemeni port, the first relief ship to enter the port in 3 weeks after the Saudi-led coalition lifted its closure of all entry points in a bid to shut off weapons shipments. In the capital of Sana'a, an aircraft with nearly 2 million doses of vaccines landed along with humanitarian aid workers. But UN Children's Agency spokesman Gert Capilleri said that more help is desperately needed.
I reiterate my plea to everyone with a heart for children, indeed, not to prevent us from delivering what is urgently needed.
The UN says some 7 million people are facing famine. Pakistan's federal law minister has resigned following 3 weeks of protests by Islamist groups. The protests had closed roads linking the capital of Islamabad with other parts of the country. The situation turned violent over the weekend as police tried to break up the sit-in. Cuba held municipal elections yesterday, a year after the death of communist dictator Fidel Castro, but Inter-American Dialogue senior fellow Peter Hakam says the elections are not the start of a new era in Cuba.
There have been elections of this sort for years. Maybe here there's a little more openness, a little more discussion of issues. But frankly, this is all done in an atmosphere where people are still under tremendous repressive, regimented regime. There's no indication that this is moving the country, that this is a step toward openness.
Mr. Hakam does not believe that the election is the beginning of a move toward democracy. Prince Harry is tying the knot. It was announced today that he is engaged to his U.S. actress girlfriend Meghan Markle, with the marriage due to take place in the spring of 2018. English author Claudia Joseph.
And now Harry is marrying an Afro-American. He's marrying a divorced woman. I think people look at him and remember perhaps Princess Margaret and Peter Townend and her sad life as a result of perhaps not being able to marry him and think, well, Harry has to make his own choices in life, otherwise he's never going to have a successful marriage.
The 33-year-old Harry, currently fifth in line to the British throne, she is best known for her role in the U.S. TV legal drama Suits. This is Joe Palca, reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.